You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hi, everybody. Whoa. Welcome to episode 174. That's right. Remember, Matt changed it up the last time we recorded. Of Red Wings Rant, where Ty Raisin and Passion Please for your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Today, we're going to be previewing our first week of Detroit Red Wings hockey. So we've got the Lightning and Vancouver Canucks on tap. We're going to have an angry Lightning team coming in. And I don't know, maybe a docile Canuck team. Maybe, hopefully. Probably not. They're gonna have two games under their belt coming in. We've also got our official rosters ready to go. We've got from Ansar Khan the best guesses for our first and second power play unit based on practice today. So we'll take a quick peek-a-roo at that. Mike, we have new captains to talk about.
Yes.
And I think that's it for news. So. Yeah, let's jump into it. Mike, how about our two new alternate captains? Of course, we already knew what was going on. You know what? Real quick. Fethdar, how you doing?
Fethdar.
Good to have you. Where does Raymond fit on the power play? All right, we'll get into that in a minute. I think we're all going to be pretty happy that here's the tease. After all the hemming and hawing we did of him even making it onto the roster, like, what, 3 weeks ago? Now he's on the first line, spoiler alert for later on in the show, and the first power play unit playing flank with...
Thank God that guy panned out, huh? Woo! A pretty bleak first line of power play unit, let me tell you.
So, but yeah, let's jump into these, who's going to be alternate captain with Dylan. And I'm super okay with it. I saw some people angry about it. Some people, I don't know, on Twitter were just didn't need the reminder that Mark Stahl was going to be on the team this year, I guess. I saw like people going that far with some of their memeing once the announcement was made. But of course, there's, you know, the spoiler there. Mark Stahl, Danny DeKeyser, our new alternate captains. I'm fine with it. I think Mark Stahl's a great pick. Clearly, he's on this team to be a leader and a mentor. And DeKeyser, I mean, this is a career Red Wing. This is a guy who's, you know, come back from some severe injuries. And so far this preseason, he's playing pretty hot. So if this was about, you know, which defenseman was coming out with a great performance over the preseason, if any of that had to figure in, DeKeyser earned it. And, you know, we've talked about that in the last couple of episodes. So I super cool with it. I'm ready to go. Alternate captains, DeKeyser, Stahl, and of course, our good boy, Dylan Larkin.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
If you're mad about this, you're not seeing the big picture. I mean, Eisenman picked guys who are probably not even going to be on the team for much longer. So probably Bo Sider is going to be a captain if you're going to start doing it by people who earn it by performance. And you don't want to give it to him outright because we haven't seen his first official NHL season yet. So you just give it to some good locker room voices, and then you don't feel weird where it's somebody with, you know, like a longer kind of middle-of-the-road contract where you're like, we're going to take it back and give it to Mo now? It's like, no, we're just going to like give it to the more deserving defenseman once these guys hang it up, which will be in the near future. So I think it's a beautiful move.
I think too. It. I don't know how deep we want to get into conspiracy theories about alternate captains, because really, it doesn't matter. It could change every year, but it might be kind of telling that Tyler didn't get it, because I would have pegged him, or you know, I would have thought that might have been a thing. I know we've had requests online for us to stop bringing up Tyler Bertuzzi. Unfortunately, he's still on the team, so it's going to keep happening. But I wonder if that, you know, you look at a guy that is drafted by the Red Wings, has some tenure, certainly would have the ability to lead a little bit. But yeah, I don't want to dive too deep into that. I guess, if anything, when I said I shouldn't even mention this, I should have just kept rolling on. We do have performance art jumping in. We'll transition into the depth chart here. Do you think it's too much too soon with Raymond not being on the team, but first power play? I will say this. Based on what we saw in the preseason, my man can create. I see a power play that is going to look much improved compared to the last few seasons. And everything that I saw that was improved, of course, we could say, you know, I joked about this with Max Boltman, but I guess we got corrected too this past week, Mike. I kept saying Tange, but, you know, Tange's power play certainly looks like the strategy is to take a little bit more risk. But I also begged, you know, everyone to ask themselves, do you really think Bylsma sat there and said, you know what, just dig around the corners, just have fun, don't try and get in, don't try and get, you know, reach the zone, don't try and create any plays, we'll just look like shit and it'll be fine. So what I'm challenging everyone to ask themselves is the difference that we have fucking Lucas Raymond on the team. And he can really play like a fourth overall pick. And he was showing off in the preseason, I felt. So, you know, that's a situation, too, for a guy like Lucas Raymond, where we've already decided, you know, the skill is there. There's going to be instances where he's going to be making rookie mistakes. But when he's on the power play, and I think we've seen a good deal of it already, that in the preseason, that he's going to be able to show off, he's going to be able to create, he's going to have the space to be Lucas Raymond. And that to me, I say load him up, put him on the first unit. And when you look at this team and we look at the second unit, which we'll bring this up in a second here so you guys can see both of them, I'd be pretty hard pressed to make an argument for who's playing his position on the second unit should have the job over Lucas Raymond. So, Mike, I think it's probably time, right? I got to jump in here and we got to show these depth charts and
yeah, let's get the visual on there. I got to say, as far as too much too soon, it's like, I don't know who else you would really want in there. I don't know if we're really clamoring for, you know, Rasmussen to be on the first one. I don't know, Matt, did you want Gagne on the first line? I just feel like we're at a point where there's not a ton of like talented options, and we might as well give this guy, like, if you're worried about defensive lapses, right, he's going to be out there with the man advantage. So you can kind of put that, you know, on the back burner. That's not going to be an issue if he's on the power play unit. And I with young guys, right, you want to give them confidence. So why not put them out there with, you know, our best players and let them get some numbers on the stat sheet? And he's shown enough that I don't think he's going to look totally lost. The scary part is he already looks like one of our better goal scorers, which.
Right. I mean, that's telling on its own and yeah. How far we are from.
Kind of scary for where our prospects are for us, you know. What happens is when you have a poopy team like we do, you really talk up your prospects. Like you over talk them right. Because that's all you've been paying attention to for so long.
Well, here's what it looks like now with a couple of prospects loaded in there. So this is it. And really, from what we projected, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, like what we projected, you know, a couple months ago was kind of on everybody's list, but. The only difference is really was that
you can flop. I'm gonna feed my kicks. He's going ape shit. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
So on the first line, you're taking out Verana and putting in Lucas Raymond. And then as we roll down here, for anybody listening to the podcast, let me roll these off actually name by name. Tuzi, Larkin, and Raymond on the first line. Fabry, Suter, Zadina on the second line. Namistikov, Rasmussen, Ernie on the third line. And then the fourth line is Giovanni Smith, Mitchell Stevens, and Sam Gagne. I'm pretty stoked to see my man Mitchell Stevens just automatically thrown into that the fourth line. Everybody that's been listening to the show knows that we're excited about him and to see him get going. Of course, you wouldn't be a silly Red Wings fan if you weren't getting excited about a fourth line forward. That's the world we live in.
Oh, you're talking about Stevens?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now I think there was mention too that Rowney was sharing the load with Jovani Smith, so we'll throw that in there. And then on the defenseman side, we'll pull this back up here. DeKaiser and Roenick on the first pairing. We'll just call it the first pairing. For all we know, Letty and Sider is our first pairing, but they are pairing number two. And then Mike, today in practice, so you got to figure this is happening tomorrow, right? Because it was today in practice. Mark Staal and Gustav Lindstrom, not Troy Stetcher. The fourth pairing was Stetcher and Osterley. So I mean, I made the argument when we were doing the expansion draft. I made the argument months ago. I made the argument a couple of weeks ago. That was definitely our third pairing because of the chemistry that Staal and Stetcher set up, especially when they were activating in the offensive zone and the success that they had, that surely they would be our third pairing. But Gustav Lindstrom is just playing his nuts off right now. So he's taking the spot. Like I said, that's what practice was today. So it could change by tomorrow. But I'm going to go ahead and say, since that was what they look like today, that we have a pretty good idea. We can make our best guess. That's where we're going. All right. Our first line is going to be serious. And then I'd replace Rass with Stevenson on the third. And Stevens, right, on that one for the just switch Rasmussen and Mitchell Stevens, just go fourth to third for Mitchell is what I think you're saying their performance art. I want to give the opportunity to Rasmussen first, and I think at some point the bottom six will become a mess of six guys that will probably go through the Blashill blender. And we won't know which one's the third line or the fourth line by the end of the year. So, I mean, they'll be fighting for the least amount of minutes on this team, because if we're going to, especially if Blashill wants to look like, you know, he needs another year of coaching, he's going to be playing that first line a lot. So that bottom six, I'd imagine, is going to be pretty similar for the load. Mike, I interrupted you, though, to get Performance Arts thoughts in there. What
No, just you were bringing up, was it Stetcher and Osterley are playing together?
Right now, yes, as our fourth pairing.
Yeah, I think there's sometimes arguments to be made Stetcher was our number two, and it's kind of nice to see him moving down the pecking order because of prospects actually like getting to a point where they can contribute at the NHL level. And I think you're absolutely right. Matt, I'm going to just hang on the old coattails here. That bottom six is it's going to be like Boggle, I think, a little bit. There's going to be guys flipping around. But this is the lineup maybe for one game. I wouldn't be surprised if it radically changed for game two. And I don't know if it's just because Stevens is a fresher face. We're not used to his warts like we are, you know, Rasmussen. But I agree, too. I put the big, meaty man slapping meat. I would probably give him a little more ice time than Mitchell for now.
I mean, Rasmussen looked great at the end of the season. So clearly Blashill has seen more Rasmussen than Stevens at this point. So it's just one of those things. I think that's how that line's going to wrap up because of that. And if Rasmussen looked weaker, I think at the end of the season, or maybe if that injury was a little bit worse from a couple of, about a week ago, maybe things would be different, but I think we could have a lot of confidence that Stevens will get those opportunities. I did want to touch on Performance Arts thought. There's a decent scoring line mixed up somewhere in the bottom six, especially if, Ernie was on pace. If we played an 82 game season last year, he was on pace for 20 goals at one point. And we know, I would say for me, the guys I'm ready to move out are, Namestnikov and Gagne. I'm excited for the days that we're not shoehorning them in the lineup somewhere to get, some veteran leadership, some mentors. But, I was going to say, if we do get Verana back at some point, you take a look at that top six, and if one of those guys is moving down, we would legitimately have, again, if Ernie could play up to those, that performance he had at the midpoint last season, think about bringing down Fabry. Think about maybe Zadina hitting that third line. And then I would still say for the second line, if Verana comes back, I'd keep Zadina and Verana playing together. Bring Fabry down. So your second line is Zadina, Suter, and Verana. Your first line stays. Hopefully they're successful. Bertuzzi, Larkin, and Lucas. And then that third line, who knows if it's Mitchell Stevens or Rasmussen at the time, but Adeburne and Robbie Fabry. I just, like, it's, we joked earlier, you know, Mike, about how far away we are from being competitive. But I mean, that's three scoring lines right there. That's legit three scoring lines that could win you a good chunk of games.
I know if wishes were fishes, we'd all have a barrel. But man, I just wish it hadn't been Verano that got hurt. Just, I really wanted to see.
You have a bird laughing at that joke?
No.
Oh, that was a door.
No, my lady came in with cat food. but yeah, I just wish it hadn't been Verano, because that would have been, you know, him, Larkin, and Tuzi. I would have loved to see just the, you know, the rest of the, we'll call them our top six. watch those guys kind of get piecemealed around with the legitimate, proven pieces. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll play that game, but I, you know, you wonder too if Lucas makes the team, if they do have a Verana sliding in there.
Yeah, it might be a happy accident. I just,
excuses.
Like Verana, I would have penciled him in for like 60 points, easy. But Raymond, we know he's going to have growing pains, and he's probably going to have one of those, you know, rookie 10 game slides where he just doesn't produce a single point. So, you know, we're optimistic, of course. It's just, you know, there aren't a lot of rookies who just completely set the world on fire.
Right.
So I'd be expecting, you know, like 30-ish points, maybe 40. I think even that is kind of asking a lot. But that he's going to get so many opportunities. I think it might be tough for him to not contribute because of all the power play time and playing on the
right
top line.
Performance Art, everybody. Time to subscribe to Performance Art's YouTube channel. He says it right here. Okay, boys, I'm going to say it. Wings squeak into the playoffs. And, of course, Soap Dish right behind him. Not a chance. now we did talk about in the last episode if there was a shot of them sneaking past you know, like Montreal, you know, with what they're going through with Carey Price right now. Is there that possibility that they're gonna drop? And you know, if you have one more team drop, somebody's gonna sneak up. And then I think that's where Performance Art's coming from, but there's always a dark horse. I think this team has a great shot at being really fun in the second half. They're going to be really fun this whole season because we have Lucas Raymond and Mo Sider. But playing that game of if Verana comes back is the most fun game in the world to play right now. Mike, I got NHL 22. First two goals of the season.
Lucas Raymond?
Verana, all the way.
Oh, no, it's listen, we can be optimistic, right? There's a lot of teams we'd have to leap over just in our own division. I mean, I would still easily take Boston, Florida, the other Florida team that's the two-time cup winner in Tampa. I would still take Toronto. Montreal, people keep fighting me on this one. I'd still take Montreal. And the Senators with Tim Stützle and the Pips, I'm sorry.
I'm going to take us.
Are you picking Wings or Senators?
I'm taking the Wings. But let's keep goosing everybody up here with the power play. We'll keep moving on because
let's
we're
get our goose suits on.
Minutes, yeah.
All right, let's keep our goose suits on. All right.
So the first unit that practiced today, Bertuzzi's our net front. Left flank is Larkin. Bumper is Adeburne. Right flank is Lucas Raymond, and then quarterbacking was Letty. To me, this is perfect. We saw a lot of success from Ernie as the bumper last season. And then everything that I loved from Lucas Raymond was him playing right flank and getting the puck over to his left flank, Dylan Larkin. And, you know, as much as we would have liked to have more Bertuzzi preseason games, and we had the question earlier in the chat, I do apologize if Bertuzzi was going to slow them down. I wonder if this is where that question was coming from, because I don't. He can keep up with these boys, and he was our top power play performer last year, despite only playing 9 games. Statistically, per 60, he was our top power play performer. So this first unit has a lot of potential to do well, but you're just, you know, these first couple of weeks, you wonder if Bertuzzi's still going to be getting his legs underneath him, because he's also coming back from a huge injury, just like Dylan Larkin was. And I mean, what, you know, what are we going to say here? Over the last over a year, he's played 9 NHL games in the regular season. So that's not a lot, right? So, I mean, that could be something where it takes him a long while to catch up. So I think that's where that question was coming from, if he's going to slow them down. But did I pull up the picture? Did I screw that up? But yeah, just for anybody listening to the podcast again, it's a Tuesday in the net front. Larkin and Raymond on the flank, Ernie the bump, and Letty the quarterback. So that brings us to our second power play unit, is where we're going to see Mo Sider.
Incredible.
Start to steal the job from Letty. Yeah, right. Now this is something that you know, I think we failed to bring up, was putting Hronek on the left flank, because man, he was scoring them in chunks over in Europe last year when he was playing this position, the left flank on the power play. So this seems to be the shot, you know, this is going to be the place where he's most successful. And bumper for the second power play unit is Fabry, right flank is Zadina, net front Suter. I was kind of surprised by that. They were actually subbing in Rasmussen too, so that was mentioned today by Ansar Khan, who was reporting these guys on Twitter. But you know, again, for a power play unit, you could try and fight and say, no, this isn't going to be a legit power play unit. It's still the Red Wings. But again, you're putting Hronek in his wheelhouse. We all love Mo Sider. Zadina, you could argue too, is also in his wheelhouse on the right flank. Fabry had probably the strongest preseason consistently for all the forwards. And I think we all became a pretty good fan of Suter too, because he was moving the puck despite his position on this power play being the net front presence guy. So I think you have two solid power play units here. I think that's another thing that, as we continue to, you know, I mean, we're inching closer to this season where you and I, Mike, will be at the game tomorrow. I think it's just another thing to be excited about. You know, like, how many times last year were we dreading seeing the second power play unit because of who was likely to come out there? And, you know, I think one of the things I failed to mention was that Gagne was also subbing in on the first unit, but you don't have to do that. You know, it's not a thing. Just keep him out of there. We're good. We're golden. Just no Sam Gagne on my power plays. I know he's had success. I know he scored some goals, but you know, like, that's a positive. We're moving in the right direction. The not having a Sam Gagne on one of these power play units, or being able to build them up with some exciting names and not having to worry about that, A+. So that wraps up, you know, at least what we're seeing in practice right now for these forward groups, power plays. So I think it's about time, Mike, that we do everybody's least favorite part of every episode. I hope they give like a half a second buffer between when we tell them to start listening to the ad read and at the end, because I'm sure they love hearing that. But everybody, you know, we're telling you the truth here. I'm a DraftKings man myself. You use that promo code. Most of the money I've made is from all the free gifts I get from DraftKings. So you guys play, you do the THPN draft code, and you'll be making bank like me when they do those silly, you know, put a dollar down that Tom Brady's going to breathe tomorrow and you get $200. Those are easy money. But we have a more respectable ad read than what I'm saying right now, Mike.
Are we doing the same ad from last time?
Yes.
Thank God. Because another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League. New customers can bet just $1 on an NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Just so you know, fun fact, the last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943. And everything is pass interference, and really easy to score a point. So, if Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit, $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions applied. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's it. All right. Mike.
Yes, sir.
There was the old one for Indiana. They used to have a specific line to call. So I keep screwing that up and remembering that old line. All right, Mike, we just mentioned that we're going to be at the Wings game tomorrow.
Yes.
Apologize to, I guess if you listen to this later, we just lost a lot of listeners.
Wow.
No, before you go, Mike, I just wanted to share this because the Red Wings were sharing this today. They recommend everybody's wearing a mask while indoors. Reserve your parking at parkdistrictdetroit.com. I would, you know what, just go to ParkWiz, the app, because I went to parkdistrictdetroit.com and it just took me to ParkWiz app. So it wasn't really going to that website.
Just measuring clicks, huh? Measure those clicks.
That's what they're doing.
Beautiful.
Guys, pay attention here. All bags, purses, and clutches prohibited. Only wallets sized 4x6, 1.5, or smaller are allowed. I feel like we're delivering real news here. Food and beverage is available for purchase. Use our express pickup through the District of Detroit app. Arena entry via mobile ticket only. And all points of sale at Little Caesars Arena require cashless payment methods. So, I thought I kind of wanted to share that because a couple of those I just were maybe like little reminders for me. I got my parking, Mike. I'm sorry? Yeah.
A couple of those I needed because I don't know where I'm going to park tomorrow.
Yeah, check out ParkWiz. You can actually search like Little Caesars Arena. It'll say which game are you visiting for. So you pick the Tampa Bay Lightning game and then it'll give you the list of parking lots.
Okay. Yeah.
That wasn't that's for real. You didn't have to laugh at that. That's really how it works. You pick which game. You don't even say what day. You just tell them which game you're going to. It's a pretty nifty app.
Yeah, I'm pumped to do it.
I swear, just, they didn't pay me to say that.
I don't know what we're gonna get tomorrow. I don't know if we're just gonna get slaughtered by hungry Tampa. What if we shock the world and win a game? I don't know what's going to happen,
Matt. Well, you bring up slaughtered, and let's do this, because this has to be where we begin the conversation for our preview for the Tampa Bay Lightning game. Of course, our home opener, Thursday, 7:30. I should say October 14th, not Thursday. So what I wanted to show you guys was because I just wanted to do the comparison of, with some asterisks here, what Jay Fresh's War roster builder, just to show the vastness of difference between the Red Wings projection and the Tampa Bay Lightning projection. And we'll get into more, we'll get into less analytics and, what's the story? What's the narrative behind tomorrow's game? But, or I should say, maybe tonight's game, if you're listening on the podcast. But, the asterisks that come along with this, we're looking at Jay Fresh's War roster builder, projected to have 70 points. That, of course, comes equipped with a zero from Lucas Raymond. Carter Rowney's another guy that I think might not even be on the roster here. We have a zero for Moritz Seider. So the 70-point projected projection here is it's very important. We go over the asterisks. But even with that, when Verano was in this lineup, it was 78 points. And if we want to say Moritz Seider is the best defenseman in the league, which we're not saying that, but even if we played that game, you're probably only adding 5 points. So that puts us at like 85 points, right? So I'm going to get this all set up here in a second so we can see Tampa Bay, but I'm only bringing this up just to show that vastness of how scary it could be because Tampa Bay is at 111 projected points.
Oh.
So even if we gave all those bonus points to Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider, it's still pretty far. And to go over it, like, this roster, I mean, you're talking about Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov. We saw last night, Ross Colton, I thought was fine. I think the bottom six for Tampa Bay is easily the best I'll say one of. I don't want to get in trouble here. The best, you know, one of the best bottom sixes the NHL has to offer. You can see the way it's measured here too, from a 5-on-5 perspective, with what we have going on YouTube.
We also basically say arguably the best top three in hockey.
Yeah, I'm just rounding off this conversation because, I mean, you're clearly talking about potential Hart winners, and I'm including Braden Point in that conversation, but Point and Nikita Kucherov, potential Hart winners every year. But, you know, when you look at that Red Wings roster, like, it really dips down fast. We have a solid first line when Jay Fresh's roster builder is working properly. We actually ended up, if you remember, scoring out in the top five in the league for first lines. But like I said, we bottom out pretty hard. And we're talking about those third and fourth lines were ranked, you know, at the bottom of the league. So now we look at what Tampa Bay has to offer. Not only are we going to be outplayed on the first line and the second line, but we get crushed on the third and fourth line.
I got
an analytics that perspective, but
from an analytics,
it's worth
on
mentioning.
Paper, man, Tampa Bay is the Avengers. All right, and I would say
real
our
quick,
Red Wings are probably Guardians of the Galaxy. All right, and let's not forget that Infinity War, they did get the best of the Avengers for just a moment there. Like, dude, don't call us plucky. All right, somebody's got to come in sixth in this Atlantic Division. I don't know. That's the end of that analogy, man. It looks pretty bleak for us, but somehow, by God, we end up winning a couple games this season.
Did
and
you want more?
I don't know if this is going to be it, but I don't know, man. They're going to be pissed. They got embarrassed.
Right, that's what I wanted.
They're looking to prove that, you know, yeah, I know we traded basically our whole third line, but we're still going to be fine. And watch us embarrass the Red Wings.
Right. And
their parking app that doesn't work.
And I think those are the two narratives to discuss. Their parking app works. You just don't go to the park whiz. The narratives, right, to dissect here, and you just pick which one you think is more accurate. Is Tampa Bay going to be furious that their banner raising was ruined? Or, Mike, after two Stanley Cup runs, are they gassed? Is this that year that maybe they start off not so hot? Maybe they pick it up at the end of the year, you know, and they still squeak into the playoffs and probably have a good playoff run, but is it possible, Mike, that this team is gassed?
I think it's more likely that every game against Tampa is that team's Stanley Cup. And Tampa's got to wake up and be like, I guess we'll show a modicum of effort tonight. So
yeah, that's my word.
Yeah, I don't think that Tampa's I don't think they're gassed. I think they, you know, are facing every team's big, you know, like largest, most sustained 60-minute effort. And I mean, I feel like the Red Wings are going to be giddy to, you know, have a good performance. You know, Lucas Raymond is going to be champing at the bit to, you know, prove himself. I don't think it's going to be a game where we get shut out. I think there's going to be, you know, some goal scoring by the Red Wings. I still think it would be a responsible bet if you were putting money down, you know, probably, you know, 6-3 Tampa Bay.
I'd at least say this, if we're going to talk betting, I'd go, if you need to put money down on the Red Wings, don't go for the win, go for that puck line, give yourself the goal and a half, because I think there's potential for this being the opening night, Lucas Raymond being excited, Seider being excited, and there is potential for them being gassed, but I'll do this. My argument for that, Tampa Bay is going to be, you know, at the end of the season, one of your strongest 5-on-5 teams, and they struggled last night to get shots on. You know, they struggled last night to get chances against a depleted Pittsburgh Penguins team. So that will turn around. They have, you know, to talk about the two guys I think that could challenge for the Hart, and to bring up Braden Point and Kucherov again, that's going to turn around. From the perspective of them looking bad last night, Vasilevsky was only a minus 0.34 goals above expected. So basically you're looking at that expected goals number. How many goals did he actually allow? And it was only a minus 0.34. So even Vasilevsky, I mean, that's not even, I want to bring that up. It's not statistically significant to say there's a problem, but it's significant in the idea that we talk about it and mention that Vasilevsky's fine too. So none of these really pointed to, in my mind, they didn't really point to, what do I want to say, a team that's gassed. It just felt like puck bounces weren't going their way because they still got a good amount of Corsi four, I guess, for their team. So they're throwing the puck at the net. They just weren't getting the shots or getting the right chances on net. So I would make the argument things could turn around fast for them.
Yeah, do you, quick question, Matt. Do you know, have they announced, is it Greiss that we're going to see tomorrow?
You know what's funny? They haven't. I guessed that it was going to be Greiss, and then I had a graphic put together, too, and I was like, nah, fuck it, I'll be wrong, and I don't want that up there. But my guess would be Greiss, kind of for the same reasons we were already talking about Sam Gagne and Namestnikov being in the lineup. I think Greiss is right now the safety net. That's the guy we know. That's the guy who had the nice ending to the second half. And for all intents and purposes of talking about preseason mattering, Ned didn't play out of his mind fantastic. So I think it would be fine to assume that Greiss is going to start tomorrow. But I'm fully prepared to be as wrong as could be.
Yeah, you remember last season when Greiss started getting a little bit more consistency, like going start to start.
Yeah.
His numbers got a lot better. So maybe they want to try and get him off on the right foot this season. And Nedeljkovic, maybe we're just going to be doing a smaller sample size for him. I don't know if they're going to be 50-50. Maybe it'll end up being 60-40, or maybe even more than that. Kind of leaning towards Greiss, but obviously performance is going to be there. And like you said, kind of the devil they know. So maybe they want to do a little control experiment and see what the team looks like with the Greiss goalie that they know, with Sider and Letty playing in front of them. It's probably going to be Greiss, and I'm bummed only because I want to, we want to see all the shiny new toys on night one. But we'll be staring at Sider all night anyway, and we won't even pay attention to who's in goal.
Quick shout out. Eric's here. What's up, my man? Tristan just got here. What's going on, Tristan? So, Mike, real quick, I think we'll sum this up for the Tampa Bay Lightning game. My pick, and I'm sorry to say, because it is opening night, Mike, we're going to be hanging out with the Red Wings fans at the game. I am picking Tampa 5-3. So that thing I told you about doing the puck line, that goes against that. So don't you take Tampa on the puck line. If it goes 5-3, that's where I'm going. 5-3. And it's not, I don't think it's going to look ugly. I think it's going to be an empty netter at the end. I think it's just going to be something where the Red Wings are going to play. The strategy, I think, is going to be different compared to last year. I think they're really going to let these guys go. And I think we're probably sniffing a power play goal. There's going to be some power play goals from Tampa, though. I still don't have a ton of confidence in our penalty kill. And, that'll probably be it. We won't be able to keep up. And empty at the end, it'll be close.
I'm going to predict that nobody remembers the score of this game, but they are going to remember if Sider takes out Kucherov on a big check.
Oh, yeah. That'd be kind of fun.
I think people are going to be a lot I'm going to count myself in that and speak for a lot of people. I think we're going to be a lot more excited to see Sider against some of the most dazzling offensive talent that the NHL has. Just to see what kind of mustard he puts on a few hits, and see if he can have a few moments where he can go kind of look into the future, and with a little more development, clean up some rookie mistakes. My God, this guy's a real prospect. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Now we've got one. We've got one prediction in the chat, Mike, and it's coming from Tristan. But this is dirty. I don't know why he's got to be so salty here. Tristan's it's less of a prediction and just more of a want, but you should pick Carter Rowney should pick a nice suit that screams healthy scratch for tomorrow's game.
Ooh.
Doggies. Tristan, why you gotta do Rowney dirty like that?
I hope he goes like the Steve Harvey or like the Seth Rollins route, like a really loud cat scratch suit, every night he's not playing.
Yeah, I just watched the Steve Yzerman interview with Bally Sports, and what he talked about and the way he wants this season to play out. He even mentioned him by name, but Giovanni Smith is getting that start in game one tomorrow, no doubt in my mind, because Yzerman said Giovanni Smith is on his mind for guys he's setting roster spots aside for so that he can see what they look like. And he did mention Rasmussen as well. So that was a talking part point earlier in the episode. We kind of probably could have brought that up. But Jay Fresh is bringing up Rowney and his projection for the roster. But I do think it's going to be Giovanni Smith. No doubt after listening to that Yzerman interview with Bailey. Also, Mike, clearly, career in politics on the way for Yzerman, because besides him saying that, literally nothing else in a 3-minute answer to one question, like just just politicking his way to get out of the interview. It was fun to watch and also mind numbing and eyeball rolling and whoa,
yeah,
there goes my headset. All right, so
I can't remember if we had anything else, but again, it's for Red Wing fans just desperate to see some of these prospects pan out. Knowing that he's going up against McDonough and Hedman, it might be a little tough for our boy Lucas. So I'm not expecting a bunch of, like a hat trick from him. I think he might get schooled a little bit, but I am really excited to see what Seider can do against somebody like Kucherov. This is going to be a really cool, get your feet wet against somebody who I think he's probably my favorite player. Outside of the Red Wings. So I'm really pumped to see what happens.
I actually wanted to throw this out there too, because she was actually just she was just featured, I think, on ESPN. So I just learned about Manon. I think it's Rome, but I was going to ask Tristan to correct me, but what's he going to do? Type it out phonetically. but she's going to be on the Bally Sports Detroit hockey broadcast, which is funny because I don't know. Is that Tristan? You could let me know this. Is that just for the Tampa game? Because that's where she signed a contract with the Tampa Bay Lightning in 1992, appearing in a preseason game. So that, huge female goaltender for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tristan's thrown out there too. Looking forward to seeing Raymond's first NHL goal tomorrow.
I don't know, man. He's going against a pretty big D man. I would think that we're going to see something out of Seider, and this is maybe not the game where I expect a lot out of Raymond.
Tristan's got it. Mano.
Rayom.
All right. So, Mike, we have another game coming up this weekend. So I'll be going live right after we play the Canucks. We'll have our next episode just kind of recorded as like a post game.
I don't know if I want to be outside the diner where the girl I really wanted to date is drinking a milkshake with two straws with somebody else. I don't know if I can watch it.
Oh, yeah, because they're
boys. Of course, we're talking about Pettersson. Yeah, this is going to be hard for me to stomach.
Yeah,
he's in the wrong jersey.
My favorite segment all summer, the Elias Pettersson offer sheet watch. But, of course, it didn't go our way. Super sad. And it probably will be a little tough to watch. But really, when we think about it, it's just not how the NHL works. And, you don't offer sheet guys, Mike, or else you get in trouble later with the Carolina Hurricanes. All right. So let's pull this up. We were just talking earlier about Jay Fresh's war roster builder to kind of give you an idea of how far apart the two teams look from an analytics perspective. So it's not anything where we say that's the hard and fast only way to look at this, because clearly we're going to talk about narratives as well. But we brought up the Red Wings were a 70-point projection from Jay Fresh. Of course, no point projection for Lucas Raymond, no point projection for Moritz Seider. And, of course, they'll affect the power play as well, which is also in these point totals here. That's a huge part of it. But still, even if we added a ton of, what did we say? We brought it up to 85 points instead of 70 points. Really, with Jay Fresh's projection here, we have a Vancouver Canucks team that is stronger than the Detroit Red Wings, but still outside of the playoffs, projecting them to be 18th. So a little bit closer in regards to competition, I would say. I think there's probably, an argument too that there's a plus or minus 5 points going either way. I always say that when I'm looking up Jay Fresh's war roster builder. So if we get to play that game, Mike, of maybe we're at 85 points. I'm going to add another 5 points because that's my game with Jay Fresh. And then we'll take away 5 points from Vancouver. And there we get, we did it. 84 points for Vancouver, 90 points for Detroit. All right, I'm just being an asshole now. But long story short here, this should be something that is an opportunity for us to at least go in. It's not anything, you know, it's the NHL. There's a rubber puck bouncing on the ice. But as fans, as guys who sit here and pretend we're analysts for the sport and for the Detroit Red Wings, we can go into this game a little bit more confident, is basically the point I'm coming to, then we should be going into that Tampa Bay game. And there's more than one reason. There's some narratives wrapped into it, but holy shit, does Vancouver's defense just not impress me in any way. Quinn Hughes, of course, for me, is the star on this defense. Now he's finally challenging the Ekman-Larsson contract and getting paid more. But Quinn struggled from an analytics perspective. It was something with zone exits was an issue. For all intents and purposes, I mean, it was a struggle top to bottom from an analytics perspective for Quinn. And he ended up being in the bottom half in the league when you look at those player cards, either from Jay Fresh or Evolving Hockey. But of course, again, that's just you looking at it from an analytics perspective. I would still trust Quinn Hughes. I almost said with my life, but not with my life, but I trust him with my second pairing on my defense. But I mean, the weakness is this first pairing for Vancouver. And, you know, there's some definite weaknesses in the bottom six that the Red Wings could take advantage of as we take a look at this roster here. But Mike, I think the main thing here for me, and I'll go back to Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson. They have two preseason games under their belt because they waited so long to sign their damn contracts. But on top of that, Vancouver, this will be their third game in four nights when they play Detroit. So I think a good opportunity here for the Red Wings to take advantage of hopefully a tired Vancouver team and one with an Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes, who I would say are the two most dangerous guys on that team. They're not ready to go. So they're playing a lot of hockey in a short amount of time. We saw what that did to the Red Wings in the preseason, playing 8 games in 11 days, of course, spread out between two different teams. But, you know, at the tail end of that, saw a lot of Lucas Raymond, and he looked tired by that last preseason game. So that's something you can't ignore. So we're going to talk about the fact that this is a game the Red Wings could definitely look, they could look pretty goddamn good if things turn out the right way.
Yeah.
But the narrative behind this is this is an opportunity to also get on top of a tired Vancouver Canucks team.
Yeah, I think it's a great spot to, you know, take advantage of that, like you said. And I, for some reason, Matt, I hope it's not just you and I. I know the listeners of the show, the viewers of the show, know our love affair with Pettersson. And I'm hoping that maybe Stevie Y just kind of walks by and, you know, just throws a little wink, you know, at our boy Sider. I think this is going to be our first win. I don't think we're going to see it tomorrow. That's okay. I've already prepared myself mentally for it. Matt, this is ripe for a Red Wing victory, I think.
Well, yeah, if we're improving too, right? Like, we've got to sniff. We're going to be closer to that 500 points percentage. We were 429 last year, and we finished the second half of the season right at 500, right? Or maybe we were a game above a 500 points percentage. So to see us go 50-50, I mean, it just makes sense. You know, eventually there's going to be some overtime losses mixed in there, and that's how the losses are going to pile up on top of the wins. But this is one of those games. I think there's an opportunity to really take advantage of the fact that they're coming in their third game in four nights. You've still got, you know, Quinn and Pettersson not ready to go. I'm just going to say, because it's pro sports and we see that all the time, we're going to make the argument that Tyler Bertuzzi might slow us down. So why not those two guys slowing them down, especially with Quinn coming off of a terrible, terrible year. So all that wrapped together, Mike, I think how we want to wrap these up, not necessarily from a betting perspective, but just a win-loss perspective. I think this is another one with some goals going in. I'm going 4-3 Detroit on this one.
Give me 3-2. I like the goal differential. I just think a few fewer goals are going in.
All right. Last thing to point out here, Tristan's given us not only his win-loss for the couple of games here. He's saying 37, 35, and 10 for 84 points and sixth in the Atlantic. Woo! Yeah, I think there's absolutely an opportunity here to do that. Like when we were doling out our point projections, when there was a Verana involved, we didn't include Lucas Raymond, and we didn't know how well he was going to play in the preseason. So when we did that, we were looking at around 83 points, I think, is what we projected, because I did the plus or minus 5 points with the Jay Fresh roster builder. And at the time, it was 78 points. So we got all the way up to 83. So I'm not going to sneeze at 84. And again, looking at Lucas Raymond right now, he's on the team. We didn't even project that, but he looks like a fourth overall pick for me. He's just certainly going to have some rookie mistakes mixed in there. But
skill-wise, I can't tell you how many times last year we said, listen, as long as we are at home and we have absolutely zero injuries and we have our full lineup, man, we can win half of the time, guaranteed. So we've added a couple players, but we made that like very pointed mark of what a Red Wing victory trend looks like. And we're very good half the time at home, zero injuries. So man, out of these two games, no injuries. One of them's at home?
They're both at home.
All right, so I feel pretty good about winning half of those games. So, Matt, give me a loss tomorrow. Vancouver. Come on, Matt.
What?
But we are at home for, you're right, for Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to win one of those two games, and the Canucks game's going to be.
You could have just said that we're going to beat the Canucks. All right. I'm kind of looking at the comments here, making sure I didn't miss anything. I got to thank you guys for all tuning in. Soap Dish, we have to have a conversation. We were chatting privately on Facebook, and life has a way of getting in the way. But Soap Dish 999, I just hope they're a lottery team. So he'll take the 83 points to 84 points just as long as we can sniff Shane Wright in that beautiful first pick. We need that shot. Mike, I think like something like the Verana injury, I'm a conspiracy theorist when it comes to the Red Wings and the Iser plan. I'm wondering if there's another Verana injury on its way. You know, we'll get a good look at a couple of these guys, build up some trade value, and then, you know, another guy will get hurt while there's no media people around on practice, just like Verana did.
I don't know if the next domino would fall, Matt. We talked about our hot takes the last episode. And, I mean, you got to expect Bertuzzi being out the door, too. That's my 2-1 hot take.
Oh, man, people are so angry at you for that.
What are they mad about?
They don't like it.
You
better keep Bertuzzi on your team, Mike. He's a hero. He's an American hero. God damn.
How many games has he played in the last two seasons? How are we so enamored of a guy who's not on the ice?
No, I mean, when we talked about being...
We're sacrificing a portion of our cap space to a guy who doesn't want to take a shot. A hockey shot.
I don't want to get into that again. I know everybody knows how we feel.
With all due respect, I think Batman said like 99% of the players are taking a shot. And then there's like
four guys.
Like there's like four guys left. And somebody, we got one of them.
Somebody tweeted out earlier today that Tyler Bertuzzi makes up 25% of all NHL players who have not been vaccinated. Let me throw this out there. You were mentioning Batman. Mike, the ESPN opening night.
Yes.
Biggest, according to Gary Bettman, biggest opening night in two decades. Viewership-wise, sorry.
Okay.
It was humongous. It was the biggest thing I'd ever seen. Viewership, yes. Sorry.
Who's calling the game on TNT tonight? Barkley?
What's up?
Is Charles Barkley calling the game tonight?
Yeah.
Have we confirmed that yet?
I know that he's a part of the broadcast because I saw a snippet. Somebody took a picture of him talking with Cooper from the Tampa Bay Lightning because I guess they're buddies somehow. So, I mean, you gotta squeeze in your TNT talent into the ESPN did it right, I think. I think they told a wonderful story about the ESPN music, and then they mixed in, like, who is ESPN, and have them, you know, tell everybody, seriously, hockey's pretty good. And that, you know, viewership went up. You got an amazing game with that the first Seattle Kraken game.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, the Golden Knights cheated at the end. I don't know if you saw the puck get kicked into the fucking net. What are we doing? What the fuck? How is that a goal? Did everybody see it?
I didn't see that. No.
I know we're going long here because I only wanted to do the two previews, but oh my God. Real quick, it's the Red Wings rant, and I haven't ranted yet today. Not a goal in any way, shape, or form, but my real problem is if we're going to allow that goal that went in for the Golden Knights last night, what the fuck are we doing? Just let guys kick the puck in the net. When did we decide that you couldn't use any part of your body to get the puck in the net? Why is that a good, like, why does that make sense?
I'm just glad that they really started enforcing that after Holmstrom retired, because that was that guy's whole shtick was flinging pucks off his ass, off his face, off his nuts.
Well, you can do your nuts.
I don't think he ever stick-handled a puck into the net.
Go to the NHL rulebook. You can use your scroty to get the puck in the net, but you can't kick it. But again, my problem really is that we're coming up with these ridiculous rules. I think just let them kick it in the net, and then I don't have a problem with it. Then this goal that happened last night that wasn't a goal according to the rule book, this bullshit about he angled his skate. Oh, he picked up his foot and twisted his ankle and moved his leg forward so he could angle his skate to hit the puck into the net. No, that's a fucking kick. So the difference between angling your skate and a kick is if the puck hits your toe or not, I guess, which is not a thing. That's not like ask soccer players.
All right, so
side of your foot all the time.
I have it going right now, man. Let me see. I'm gonna do a real reaction here. Let's see how mad I get.
What? That's not a goal. What is that bullshit? He fucking kicked him forward.
What? That's beautiful.
Okay, that is really egregious. That is really bad.
I just don't get it. Like,
wait,
I mean, we've seen it. We've seen guys tip it in off their foot that doesn't move. And even then, you know that they're, like, politicking their own body.
That's a deliberate, like, premeditated puck kick.
Somebody said it was the best way for Seattle fans to be introduced to the NHL. Just, you know, getting fucked over by a dumb rule. Like, welcome.
Wow. Yeah, that's got to be hockey's tuck rule. I got to think, right?
I don't know.
As long as you're oscillating the hip instead of, like, kicking with the kneecap, I guess it's not technically a kick. I don't know, man. There's no defense for that.
It's funny to me because you let Drapes take one off the teeth when we won the cup in 08. Uh-huh. It's like, why do we draw the line? Why aren't we drawing the line at, no, don't hit your face with this puck because you could die. So that's the rule. You can't use your face to knock the puck in the net because you could get hit in the head and you're going to lose 10 years off your life. Like, that's a rule that makes sense. Saying you can't kick the puck into the net because we're using sticks, darn it. Run his face into the ice, but don't you goddamn kick that puck.
Wow. Man. If you guys haven't watched that, it's infuriating. Oh.
Yeah, Fethedar's right there. Fethedar's, I like this. We're 100% with Fethedar. He's ready to trade Bart. He's good on Seattle's intro to the NHL. Poor Seattle, you know. No, I think it's time to wrap up, though. Mike, did you want to go through your fantasy hockey team that you drafted while we were talking?
Oh, yeah, I rolled the dice on too many names, man. I don't know if you want it. I'll do my
first five. Your first five are incredible.
I was shocked that he dropped because I picked sixth in a snake draft, Matt Kucherov. Of course, I did end up taking Elias Pettersson in about the seventh round or eighth round. Yeah, he really dropped. And then was there a couple other I was kind of excited about? Huberdeau?
Yeah.
He's going to be all right for me. I'm going to get Palat, so I'm going to have him and Kucherov. Hopefully they have a good season together. And, man, I rolled the dice on Crosby because people freaked out because he's going to be out for, like, two games. But, I mean, he still averages.
You did look that up? I just wanted to make sure. Okay.
Yeah, he's only going to be out, like, two games. And then I'm going with Carolina. They know how to keep goalies, and they know when to get rid of them, unfortunately. So, Matt, I took Anderson as my goalie, and I took Fleury, the guy who won the Vezina. So, I think I'm going to be all right.
Yeah, I was reading the hockey news today. They said that was a good move by Carolina to get rid of Nedeljkovic. It very rarely pays off to overpay your rookies, which I wouldn't call it an overpay to give a goalie $3 million. But I mean, without reading it, you're right there with the hockey. What did I say? Yeah, the hockey news. I said the hockey writers, didn't I?
Yeah,
that's a blog, I think.
I did get a couple Red Wings too. Don't worry. I peppered my team with at the last couple rounds. So I do have Hronek. I did get Burt. I do have Larkin. And I do have a former Red Wing alumni, Anthony Mantha, available in the last round.
I like it. I mean, clearly I'm going to be a homer here. And I really like the Larkin pick because I think a lot of people are just going to look at what the, you know.
I've waited for Larkin.
Yeah, there.
Nobody wanted Red Wings.
The points per season the last couple of years. But I mean, we just talked about it. I mean, Raymond's on the first power play now. This is a guy that's making offense. I'm ready.
I bought low on him, and he's playing with Luke.
Yeah, just don't draft Larkin in the first round.
Hell no, no.
Now, did you pick up Lucas Raymond too?
He's still out there, man. Nobody wants him. So I'm one injury away from bringing him aboard.
I would say probably he'll go on a hot start and then he'll taper off. So you want to pick him up now and then drop him in a couple of weeks is how I do it.
So I want to pick him up for this Tampa game and then drop him for the Vancouver game.
So Fethdar, he lets goaltending go to hell and just focuses on scoring categories. I think I'm guilty of that as well. But he did pick up Ned.
I picked up Grice. I forgot I picked up another Red Wing.
Hey, there you go. You guys are working together. You guys are probably in the same league.
I also picked up Varlamov on the Islanders because he always does well for me.
Jared Shaw. Jared, I'm glad you're here. I don't. I feel like we don't see you too often in the comments here, but he likes your team. Now, I was thinking you had pasta, but I forgot that you.
I just missed out on the pasta, man.
Right. You were going to get pasta, and then you went for Huberdeau. So that's where I was. That was the one where I was like, holy fuck, he's still available? Like, he's going to sniff the top of the league of goals. Pasta's.
All right, I'm going to throw a few more guys out there because you guys seem interested. I did take Seth Jones. I did do it. I did take Letang, and he, again, is other sashy.
You know, the Seth Jones thing is that the entire league and the GMs, it's like Matthew Stafford, where every GM has said, no, Stafford has it. He just needs to be on the right team. He needs to be in the right situation. And Seth Jones gets ranked pretty high among all defensemen. It's the analytics community that doesn't like him. But I mean, if you're going to look at that situation and say, all right, now he gets to play with his brother in Chicago, let's see what happens.
And he's playing in front of a Vezina winner. And then I also rounded out the D-man with Krug, Ekholm from Nashville. And that was about it.
Is this a two-person league? What the fuck? This is a great team.
I don't know how we're gonna do in fantasy, but if we were drafting a real team, I think I'd be pretty set.
Yeah, if this was like your NHL 22 draft, it's fantastic. I do highly recommend, by the way, everybody plays the expansion draft if you are getting NHL 22. I did one yesterday as Seattle.
Yeah.
It is hard, you know, considering they're actually playing with people's lives and real money. I still had a tough time. throw that out. Oh, and you know what? Last thing to mention, Mike, before we sail off. Dennis Cholowski is available. Seattle has him on waivers right now.
Wow.
So they're gonna send him down. And I mean, this is an opportunity for the Red Wings to just be like, we liked Cholowski, so we think he fits. Just now let me see what that contract is. But I'll say this. I would have no problem if they brought him back. Zero issue with that at all. But I'm also not sitting here saying, oh, they better bring back Cholowski. 1 year, $900,000, Mike. I think we can make that work.
I think we got a little room in the payroll. We got my Patterson slot available. Bring him aboard. Also, my team name is the Stink Puckles.
Stink Puckles?
All right, instead of Stink Pickles, we're the Stink Puckles.
Fetstar threw out their Svechnikov sign the other day too. Is that that's Evgeny signing with Winnipeg? Because I did see that he's going to be starting for Winnipeg either tonight or tomorrow, so he's going to be on their fourth line. Oh, Jared. I said this earlier. Grab up Cholowski, put him back in Grand Rapids as a backup. I kind of said that too. I was like, I mean, pick him up. He's not going to fit anywhere on this team, but he can go back down to Grand Rapids. Like, you just play that game where he goes right back on waivers, but we'll see what happens. All right, and there's Feth. Yep, with the Jets. I think that's pretty cool for Svech. It's pretty. I mean. That's a deep set of forwards I know we all were excited for Svechnikov. He had his moments where he was our top points per 60 guy last year. Of course, that's, it's a very small sample size. But they're throwing him on the fourth line. They're trying to create a scoring line on the fourth line in Winnipeg. And I think you've always got Hellebuck to throw out there. You've got one of the best goaltenders in the world. So I think Winnipeg Jets are always somebody to be afraid of. And I think throwing out a Svechnikov on the fourth line to give yourself four lines of scoring opportunity, it's going to be pretty scary.
Perfect for Halloween, man.
All right, we got to wrap up here. All these little thoughts that just kept popping in my head. I'll see you guys after the game. Saturday might be a little bit later than just the game. I am going to be doing some dinnering and movieing for my birthday. So as long as that timing works out, hopefully not too late, but probably close to like 11 o'clock or something. But I hope to see you guys all there. And we'll have fun. We'll chat about that win against Vancouver. It'll be fun. Hopefully we're not chatting about something worse. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Cut. Bye.